Today's service was suspended and the time was spent in discussion concerning the coronavirus and its impact on our country and the world. The following is what we ended up with, which was just discussion and prayer. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, greater things are yet to be done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for our city. Thank you for Slidell, Louisiana. Thank you for allowing us to live here and be here and live and move and have our being right here. Thank you for all of our churches in this community that are gathered together today. Lord, I ask you to bless each one, protect them, and let your glory be manifest. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We trust in you. We'll not bow down to the enemy. We will not live in fear. Is that song we sang? Fear not, for you are with us. Fear not, for you are with us. There's nobody against us that can prosper. You have blessed this nation. You have called this nation out of darkness, established it upon the word of God. Through the prayers of those who first came to these shores. And this has always been a refuge. This has always been a place that's been, has been said, it's a city, a shining city on a hill for all the world to see. And Lord, we will prevail against the, all things, against this virus, against the enemy, against rulers in high places. We shall prevail. We shall not fail. We shall not fall. But we shall call upon the name of the Lord. And we believe, Lord, we believe in you, that your hand is upon us. And we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Miss Pat.
Hallelujah. I've just been reminded by the Lord, you know, this is the time for the church to rise.
Amen.
You know, that we rise, for the glory of the Lord is upon us.
Yes.
And that it is our opportunity to talk to Jesus, to talk to people about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He is our answer.
Yes.
You know, we read Psalms 91, and it says, "Do not be afraid of the terror by night." Do you know what that is? It's the plans of men. Okay. Afraid of the arrows that fly by at noonday. No, I'm sorry. Do not be afraid of the... I'm going
to just read it. Just read
it. I'm sorry. I actually know this, but Lord, I thank you. Do not be afraid of the terror by night, the plans of men, nor the arrows that fly by day, the fiery darts of the enemy, spiritual things, nor of the pestilence that creep in darkness, that's deadly diseases, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. That's natural disasters. See, and that, so that we learn from this, that no matter what's going on, we can trust in the Lord. A
Amen.
Thousand may
Amen.
Fall at our side,
Amen.
10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. And we trust in the Lord. And, you know, I kept thinking about, you know, this is a fight. And I kept thinking, well, you know, I have no medical. I don't know. How can I fight this? Well, this is a spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. And and we have a warrior king who is triumphant.
Yes.
And that's whose army we're a part of. And so I think it behooves us, as children of God, to seek God. What can I do in this situation that will bring glory to His name and help to other people? And I don't know if y'all know this, But our president has called for today to be a national day of prayer. See? And hasn't been advertised very much. But that's the kind of leader we have to publicly declare our help is in God and Him alone.
Yes.
And that that's who He's seeking. And He has believers around Him who are trusting in God. And He's, God has established these people for this time, for us, for our homeland, and for our nation.
Amen.
And that
Amen.
He's, even as might be a city upon a hill for the whole world to see that they will know that God is with us because we're declaring our trust in Him.
Amen.
And see His mighty hand move in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Pat. Y'all may be seated. I want to talk to you about a couple of things concerning what's going on in our nation. But before I get that, just a little item of business that I want to tell you about. Our band of brothers, as you well know, has been under the direction of Johnny Taylor. And Johnny is moving. It looks like the house may be sold. That's a good thing for them. And I've asked Nick Rebo if he would take over the men's ministry, and he has graciously agreed to do that. So I just want to give you that bit of information, and I want to thank you, Nick, publicly for standing tall. Nick, at the men's meeting, yeah, just giving a little applause there. The band of brothers met yesterday, and Nick decided to take us out on our first cruise under his direction. And he asked us some things from the Bible, and we all, so Nick's got a big job to try to get us where we need to be, alright? But, we all know that Nick, he's been a blessing to us. We thank you, thankful for he and for, his impact on me as an individual and upon this church and I'm sure everyone here. So, thank you, Nick. I'm looking forward to great things, alright? Amen. Our president has asked us to pray, as Pat just said, and so we're going to do that. We're going to do that in just a minute. But before we do that, I've got something that I want to read to you. Let me ask you a question first. How many of you read the grace notes that I put out concerning the virus? But this will be in the newspaper this week, okay? And I also sent it out to each of you. Okay, now we've gone over the coronavirus edge. I understand the ultra demand for disinfectants for our hands, masks to cover our noses and mouth, and even the obligatory elbow bump to replace handshakes, hugs, for those that we greet. But come on, man. Toilet paper shortages? Psychologists, it appears, believe that in panic situations, people go to extremes. As one counselor said, hoarding toilet paper gives people the feeling that they have done everything that they could. That was from the Daily article from March of this year. I'm not believing everything I hear about the current pandemic. Remember the panic several decades ago? When the experts said that we were running out of land, one authority, Dr. Paul Eldridge, a noted university professor of the Times, warned in his book from 1970, the title of, Sometime in the Next 15 Years, the End Will Come. That was the title of his book. By the end, he meant an utter breakdown of the capacity of the planet to support humanity. This is from New York Times. In the May 31st, 2015 edition. And lest we forget, there was a 2012 Mayan calendar panic. We as a people of God need to believe God and stop behaving, having shortness of breath over every perceived disaster. Be wise and do whatever prudent task you deem necessary to protect yourself and your loved ones. If you're older as I am, avoid indoor crowds. Give an elbow bump to the people you greet. And remember God who watches over us. The end of life as we know it is closer to an end, to the end of life as we know it is closer than it was yesterday. Jesus, in his long dissertation on the end of the world, said in part, "The arrival of the Son of Man will take place in times like Noah. Before the great flood, everyone was carrying on as usual, having a good time right up to the day Noah boarded the ark. They knew nothing until the flood hit and swept away everything. The Son of Man's arrival will be just like that." Matthew chapter 24. The most important question of the day is, what preparations have you made to protect yourself and your loved ones for eternity? It would be best served, we would best serve those we care about if we told them about the love of Christ and love of God found at the cross of Christ. The love and sacrifice, that love and sacrifice will sustain all who believe in Jesus through every calamity that strikes the earth, but more importantly, for all eternity. In these perilous times, when the coronavirus is spreading, do what the experts say. Wash your hands, avoid large crowds, go to the doctor if you're sick, and if it makes you feel better, when you've all of your plans are in place, buy toilet paper. I received a couple of responses from this. One from James Barrett, and he fills his pulpit on occasion. And his response was, "Great, loved it. The media is hyping this to hurt President Trump. Plain and simple. Even though just one death is just too many, the U.S. has had only 57 deaths from the virus, with 40 of those coming from the state of Washington, where one nursing home had 20 deaths. So if you leave out the incredibly incompetent Democratic governor of that state, that leaves only 17 deaths for the rest of the entire 49 states in the USA. Over 15,000 Americans have already died this year since January 1st from the common flu. Over 15,000 compared to 57. The swine flu, just 10 years ago, was almost 200 times worse than the virus that we're presently facing, when over 10,000 Americans died. And the president at that time stopped no sports and no fights, and the media praised him as the wise leader to guide us through those tough times. I'm kind of editing because it's a little long. Make no mistake about this. The media are exasperated, and the threats over this virus are planned in many ways to hurt President Trump's reelection. It will not work. After all, 99% of the people who get the virus recover with no problems. 99%. The fear is being manufactured and promoted artificially. Over 15,000 people have already died from the common flu this year, and the media never mentions it. Why? Because the absurdity of their panic over the virus and the 57 deaths in the USA would become obvious. That was from James. I received another response from Bruce Olivier. And I have to pick these two because they both have preached in this church. Now Bruce said, "Thanks, Pastor. Not only words of wisdom and sound advice, but words of spiritual comfort. Scripture tells us clearly, be anxious for nothing, but in all things present your request to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As children of God, we should use this season of uncertainty and panic to bring people to the truth and peace given freely to us by our Holy Spirit. Thanks for the encouraging message and all you do for the kingdom." There's one other person that I want to quote, a person that I don't normally agree with. He didn't respond to my email because he didn't get it, so far as I know, and that's the Democratic governor of the state of New York. I listened to him as he spoke to the people of his state. And he said, pretty much what these two men have said, he said, we need to look at the facts and not be overcome with news. He said the same thing. We've only had a small number of people die. Everyone who dies is an important thing. You know, it's important, and we don't want to make light of it. But we also need to know that the probability of us catching this bug, this virus, is very remote at this stage of the game. Things may change, but that's the way it is today. So that's what we're dealing with today. So I want you to, you know, he said that he wasn't closing the schools in his state because it would cause more damage to close the schools and leave them open. He said there are many children, and this is true in Louisiana, many children, the only meals they get are at school. And if you send them home, their parents may not be there. Their parents have to work. Or if they don't work, they don't get paid. Many of them in services, trade services, where the poor, the underprivileged, don't have a salary to back them up. You know, they earn what they earn on any given day. And he felt that it was better for the state of New York to keep the schools open where the kids could be watched over, cared for, and without fear of catching this virus. So, why did I tell you all of that? Because I think we need to be prudent. You know, we're going to elbow bump for a while. Why? Not that I'm afraid of catching anything from you, and you shouldn't be afraid of catching anything from me. But you know what? I'm not always right. You know, sometimes I miss it, you know. If I catch this virus at my age and I die, you'll read on my tombstone, he was wrong again. But he is in heaven, all right? So, I want you to use, what is that you told me this morning? I was leaving, somebody said, yeah, that's right. Timothy John said, you know, let your heart lead you, take your brain with you. So, be at peace, beloved. No, don't let this thing run rampant. People are panicking. They're in panics. I mean, you can't even go buy a loaf of bread, hardly. You know, the stores are empty. Everyone's waiting for the end of the world. We have over 300 million people in this country. I can't even do the math to what the number of people who have the flu is, the percentage-wise. It's virtually nothing. My grandson, who works in China and in Russia, he's not there today, but he has worked there. In fact, his employer is a Russian company, all right? He said the reason that so many people are dying in China, this is his opinion, he said because the healthcare system is so pathetic. They don't have the hospitals and the medication and the services that we have. And because they don't, many people are dying. They have no inoculations. You know, they're an overpopulation. A very early stage industrial nation that's coming out of the woods right now. They have several billion people there, I believe. So, look at these things, okay? So with that said, I'd like for us to pray. Our president asked us to pray, and I want us to do that. And the way I'd like to do this is I don't want to lead in prayer, although I could, but I want us all to pray. And if you feel that you'd like to lead us in prayer, I'm going to give you the mic, and I'm not going to sanitize it, and I'm going to take it back from you. It'll be unsanitized, so we curse the germs that may come on the microphone. So let's do that. I'll get it started, and then if you want to pray, just begin to pray, and I'll pass the mic to you, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord, as I prayed earlier, I know that your hand is upon us as a nation. I believe Psalms 9 that we read this morning says it all. We believe that you will give us victory over this thing, that the truth will prevail, that this disease will die, it'll shrivel up and be of no impact whatsoever. and that the news will turn even today as our nation and churches around this country and probably around the world are gathering together, that our prayers will be brought into your very presence and that you will answer our prayer, that you will protect us from evil, all sicknesses, all diseases. Protect us from fear. Let us not be afraid. You told us to not fear not, that you are with us, that you watch over us, that you protect us, that you'll be with us in any and all situations. So, Father, we believe you, and we trust you, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Somebody want to lead us in prayer? Ms. Pat?
Praise you, O God, and bless your holy name. And Lord, we thank you that you have told us to ask, to seek, and to knock, that we might receive, that we might find, and that the way might be open unto us, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you not only invite us to come to you, but you compel us to come, Lord, for in you and you alone is our hope. Lord, I thank you for your word that tells us that it's because of your great love that we're not consumed, compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. We say to ourselves, the Lord is our portion, therefore we wait for you, O God. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so, Lord, we join our hearts and our words together, Lord God, that we come into agreement with one another, Lord, that you are our hope and our help. Lord, that you will intervene in the affairs of men.
Yes.
Lord, that you would be with our leaders, Lord, particularly our president and our vice president in their staff, and those that have come together to work with them, the scientists, Lord, and the doctors, and Lord, for those who are at the Center for Disease Control, Lord, for every doctor, every healthcare provider, Lord, for Sherry and her people, Lord God, that her colleagues, Lord, in our hospital here in Slidell, and Lord, just all the health centers throughout this nation, Lord God, let your people who are there, Lord, look to you and trust you, and Lord, give them wisdom, Lord, give them eyes to see and ears to hear, that they might walk in the your revelation, Lord, of what to do next and what to do for each person, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are not helpless and we're not hopeless.
Yes.
And we're not alone.
Yes.
And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, go ahead, Kivell.
I wanted to start with this verse. It reminds me of what Pat was talking about earlier. It's Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.
Yes.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And Lord, I just thank you for freedom to worship. I thank you for us being able to come today to your house and lift up praises to you.
Yes,
personally, it just seems like the last place in the world you want to quit going is to church. But I know that people are all trying to do what they think you want them to do. Lord, I just lift up this nation to you. This is a spiritual warfare, but it's also... Lord, as you look upon our nation, you see the blood of all these murdered, aborted babies crying up to you from the ground.
Yes,
you see people that are you see that our nation is wanting to call that which you call sin an abomination to you, a protected status and class. You see in our schools and our some of our school boards, many of them, that they're wanting to poison the minds of our children and teach them things that are godless and lead them under, causing people to take their lives. And now they have this thing called assisted suicide. We wanted to play God in this nation. We wanted to act like we didn't need you. We knew better than you. We can do it on our own. Well, that's not true. How easy it is for you to show us you alone are God. There's no God but you. And yes. Lord, I pray, I pray that in these disasters, these viruses and things, that people will seek you, that they will be reminded that our lives are not promised to us, not even one more day. We never know when it's going to be our time to step into eternity. It's not your desire that any should perish. You paid a heavy price on the cross, on Calvary. You shed your blood that if they chose, nobody would have to perish. And Lord, I do pray, what good does it do our nation if we have a great economy or a prosperity and everyone dances their way into hell? No, God, I just pray you'll use this crisis to make people think about Jesus, to turn their hearts to you, that we, as many as can be saved out of this nation, would turn to you and be saved, would repent, would turn to Jesus, and would cherish you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, thank you, because of Jesus we can come boldly before your throne of grace and find mercy and grace in our time of need. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Someone else?
I don't know if I'm supposed to stand up or what, but what I kept getting while we were worshiping is, just like people say, that God's name is above all names.
Yes.
Well, his name is above the name of cancer, and his name is above the name of this coronavirus.
Yes.
God, you are mighty. You are mighty.
Yes.
And you're, all of our lives are in your hands, Father God, and we trust you that this virus must bow to the name of Jesus, to the name above all names, that this thing that's happening to our nation must bow to God's name.
Yes.
And we pray that you will be glorified in this situation, that you'll give us an opening to talk to people about you, Lord, as they walk through this, that we'll tell them for the reason, we'll give them the reason for the hope that is in us is Jesus Christ. So that as we speak to people, we'll lift you up and you'll be glorified. And I pray for our president and our vice president. Give them wisdom in Jesus' name. And what Satan is meant for evil, I pray that, God, you'll turn this and use it for good in our nation.
Yes.
And even in this election, that the godly candidates will win out in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And that this will frustrate the plans of the enemy, where he's been trying to come against our nation. In Jesus' name, we pray that, God, you will be glorified in this situation.
Yes, yes.
And I particularly pray for Chelsea's son, who I know is in the healthcare field, Father God, that you would protect him and any of our loved ones that are doctors, nurses, that work with patients, God, that you will protect them. We plead the blood of Jesus over every family represented here, that none of our loved ones will become ill. In Jesus' name, even in other states, other parts of the country, Father God, keep us well and safe, and let us be a light for you throughout this whole situation.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody else? Ms. Rose?
Everybody has said everything that's been in my heart to say, but I heard a word this morning, and I've given some thought to it, to this situation. Benjamin Franklin said, things are wrapped in small packages or in strange packages, that we don't like to see. But what can be contained in that can be the very thing that we ask God for.
Yes, yes.
And I've given some thought that for the last year or so, I have been praying just two words. God save America.
Yes, yes.
This is my homeland on this earth. I have no place else to go. My next visit will be to heaven when He calls me so. But yet, to make of this ungodly looking package the miracles that will come forth out of this situation,
yes,
in this country, in this world even, as we pray for the other parts of the world also. But my heart has been, God, save America.
America.
Save America.
Yes.
Simple prayer, two words, doesn't take much effort. But the most important thing is, where is your heart? Is your heart here in this country? This is your home. This is where you live on this earth. This is where we need to concentrate our prayers first and foremost, is in this country, in this city, in this state of Louisiana. God, you have put us, each one of us, in this place for a special reason. And I am going through my own time of an unpleasant situation. But yet I know and I believe in my heart, because I trust in Jesus and I know what He can do, that He can change things that look unpleasant to the things that we ask for, which are peace, goodness, kindness, the fruits,
yes,
of the Spirit,
yes,
and most of all, the love that God has put in our hearts to help others, to be compassionate, to be concerned, and to do what we are able and capable to do to make this time pass in the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as He uses us to do His will.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Rose. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus and that, we come to you, Father, Lord, crying out to you once again, crying out for your people. Oh, Father, we ask you to help your people, as they really can't help themselves if they don't call on you. I thank you for the saints of God, but Father, there's some. The sickness that's going around, Father, is it a sign of you to have them to be drawn to you? For whatever it takes, Father. You say, cry out to you, Father. You also said, if
yes,
your people are called by your name,
yes,
just humble themselves. Just humble himself, Father.
Yes.
Father, I pray for the families that lost loved ones,
yes,
over this sickness.
Yes, Lord.
Give them strength.
Yes.
Give them strength. Because we all need strength, Father. We seek you, we need you, and we love you. But we call it on the name of Jesus, the healer,
yes,
the Almighty God, the great I am. Come on.
Yes.
We need you, Father.
Yes.
We can't do nothing without you.
Yes.
We believe in your report, O God. Your word is yea, 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 and amen.
Amen.
By your word and by your stripes, your people are healed. Heal them, Father. Just I ask you, Father God. The world is crying out, looking for a Savior. That's what it takes to draw your people, so be it. We love you, Lord.
Yes.
And we all need you. Father, we know you're going to have your way. You know that sickness was coming. Ha! But Father, we believe in your report.
Yes.
That you will heal your people. Yes. You created doctors. You created law. So we know you're going to heal your people. But if that's what it takes for them to come to you, so be it. See, we're standing on your word. And I just bless you and praise you, Father.
Yes.
Heal your people, Lord. We know you will, and we know you're able.
Yes.
All in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus. We love you. Yes. I just cry out for the people. Asking you, knowing that you will have your way.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' mind. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else?
Lord, the secret things belong to you. You have hidden things from us, and you bring them to light in your time. Jesus, you are the light of the world. You have hidden things in darkness, but the darkness cannot hide from your light. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would use this time to bring hidden evil things into revelation, that your light would shine upon it and the evil would be exposed and goodness could become triumphant over that evil, that goodness would rise and evil would be put asunder.
Yes.
In
yes.
Jesus' name. Bring yes. forth your light to shine, Lord, that in all of this, people would be drawn to you, to your truth,
yes.
to your light, and that above all, you would have the glory. Mm. In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Shani. Anyone else?
I was just kind of thinking about some of the personal things that I'm sure all of us have, situations that are personally impacting us with this. And in our situation, my brother and his wife are in Israel, and they are scheduled to fly home on the 22nd of March. And I'd like to pray for them and others who are trying to get back home.
Yeah.
Okay. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you give us this time, Lord, to appeal to you and to for your great mercy and your great grace. And Lord, as Joe and Kate prepare to come home, Lord, I ask you to give them a straight path, oh God. I ask you to give them favor, Lord, with everyone that they have to talk to so that their plans will be the exact thing that you want for them, that they will have safe passage home, Lord God. And even though they'll be going to different countries, they have to pass through different countries and airports, Lord, I thank you that you can keep them safe, Lord, that you will have angels to escort them and to bring them home safely, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as they come, they will have opportunity as they encounter others to minister to people, to tell them not to be afraid, but to trust in you and to look to you. And Lord, that they would be a shining light in these dark places, oh God, to bring honor and glory to you and in good to them, oh God, that they might, as I say, get home safely. Lord, I'm sure there are many, many others of your own children and your own people
yes,
who are
yes.
in compromising situations, oh God. But we thank you, Lord, that we can lift them up to you, Lord, and ask you to be with them, to guard them and to guide them. And Lord, we have several doctors in our family, Lord, and I will lift up these nieces and nephews to you as well as the other medical people who are on alert. Lord, that you would give them great peace, and Lord, that you would give them the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that they will be able to help everyone that's around them, including their colleagues, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that we have your peace that passes understanding, that even as
yes.
Morris read earlier, that we're to be anxious for nothing, oh God, but in everything, oh God, with prayer and supplication, we make known unto you our request, oh God, that heaven would come, Lord, that thy kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy would come, and your good and perfect and acceptable will would be done, mm-hmm. O God, mm-hmm. and that we can rest in you. We can return and rest in you, O God, in quietness and in confidence is our salvation and our rest. And Lord, we look just to you, and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I want to ask Miss Sherry. I had talked to her about this. She says, you know, works on the front lines, and I thought that she might have some insight to us, for us.
First of all, don't panic. We have all seen the shelves bare at the drugstore and at Walmart. And part of that is coming from if you are suspected of having the coronavirus, they put you in isolation for 14 days. So people are gathering 14 days worth of stuff. You know, it's worse than the hurricane. Hurricane is a week.
Yeah.
This is 2 weeks. But there's no need to panic. Use common sense, good hand washing, stay out of large crowds, and if you have the symptoms, stay home. They're also asking that if you have symptoms of the flu, to call, don't make an appointment, call your doctor, talk to them before going to the emergency room. Because if all you have is a common cold and you go sit in the emergency room for 3 or 4 hours, your chances of contacting the virus are even stronger.
Oh, okay.
So call your doctors before going anywhere, unless you're truly, truly ill. Everybody's getting the hand sanitizers. That's good, but hand washing is even better.
Mm.
You follow the guidelines, hot, warm, soapy water, scrub your hands for 20 seconds, rinse, and dry thoroughly. All the bleach and all the alcohol, all the peroxide is gone. Again, common sense. Soap and water is your best bet, unless you're cleaning up a spill of some kind. So I know in my heart of hearts that God's going to watch over his people,
amen.
Regardless of the outcome of this disease. He watched over the people of Israel through how many plagues and
yes.
brought them out?
Yes.
So I know he'll watch for us too. So, yes, the coronavirus is in Louisiana. It is in Slidell. And it's being treated. Use common sense. Protect yourself and your loved ones by hand washing, the elbow bump, and just be careful.
Amen.
Any questions? 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. It seems like a long time when you're standing there doing it. But remember, you're getting fingernails in between your fingers, the back, the front, to clean. Take your jewelry off. Don't take your jewelry off when you're washing, because things can get in your jewelry too.
Oh, okay.
So clean it.
That's a good idea.
Dr. Oz had a program, and y'all might go on the internet to look for it. It was this week. He showed hand washing. He was like this, like this. Like this, the twist of the hand, so you get this, you scrape this, and your hands like that, and the happy birthday song.
Amen. That's good.
So it's friction and soap is your best bet. Another thing about the masks, general mask you see everyone wearing, they have not determined that it is appropriate protection from the coronavirus. What is a N95 mask, which you can't buy in a store. And we ask, as a medical professional, let us have the masks. I know that we were having trouble purchasing them because they've been being bought out. And you're leaving your front line defense open when they can't get what they need. So, anything else? Zinc. But you think about it, what do you do when the flu season is here? When we have a bad flu season, you do your C, you do your zinc, you eat well, sunshine, you avoid crowds, you get rest. We need to do the same thing with this. Like Pastor was saying, how many flu were there?
Oh, they're somewhere around 20,000, 15,000 to 20,000. Like, the numbers varies, but it's a lot.
So you have more death from flu than you're going to see in this one. I heard a report saying by the end of next year, everyone will have been exposed to this virus. It is affecting the elderly more so than any other population, and it's those that are debilitated in other areas also. They got lung problems, heart problems, liver problems. So keep your health up, and if you do have a history of these issues, stay away from people for a while, okay? It's just mainly precaution and common sense.
Amen.
Be careful. They're going to come out with this one and that one and try this over here. Make common sense. Do tried and true. Don't go with, they say ginger root, you eat it this way, this many days, and no. Just common sense and general health. Now, if you are accustomed to taking an herbal supplement or something, don't stop. Continue your health program. And if you have a lot of questions, the World Health Organization and the CDC have websites that you can go to that gives you daily updates of not only the spread of the disease, but what to do to prevent. Right now, there is no cure, and there is no vaccine, but they are working on both. Center of Disease Control. Right now, it changes from day to day. When the first was diagnosed in California, they were dealing with hazmat suits for all the medical personnel. They have since decided that that type of quarantine is not needed. It's either airborne or droplets, so you're going to breathe it in. So they're saying the big mask, the N95 mask, and to protect other patients and stuff, they'll gown and glove, and goggles are face shields to protect your eyes. But again, it changes as they find out more and more information. Now, they are offering Tamiflu to those who have strong symptoms, and that seems to help, but it's no guarantee. I don't know the latest update from one pastor said.
It's around 50, plus or minus.
70 this morning on report. And most of those are the elderly. Yeah. Well, it's new. You've had the media hype. It's something we don't know about. The coronavirus itself is a common cold. This is a strain, but it's been...
Mutation.
Mutation, that's the word. Of the coronavirus.
No medical knowledge.
And they just don't have anything to deal with it yet because it's so new.
And they said they're with the health department and was asking me about the symptoms. Yeah, of corona, was I having them? And I just hung up. Is they doing it?
Not that I'm aware of.
No, I don't believe so. That's just some scam.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get something like that, call your physician to find out if it's real, if you're that concerned, and they'll be able to tell you if they, because it'll have to come from your personal physician to be legitimate.
Jim, what is this?
I just looked it up on the internet, and as of 10 o'clock this morning, 2,815 people in 49 states, including Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, have been identified with the coronavirus, and 59 patients have died.
Like Pastor said, even one death is a sad incident, but considering the broad, how many people are in the United States, and 59 deaths is a very minute. You have more from heart disease, lung disease, the flu, automobile accidents. So keep in mind, even though it is sad, it is a small amount, and we need to prevent the escalation of it by common sense and hand sanitizers and washing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. It is now 11:30. I don't think I want to get in the middle of a message. I'll just postpone it till next week. But I do want to bring something else to your attention concerning this. Just give me a minute and I'll hold on. I want to read you a scripture. Now I want to be prudent, wash your hands, stay away from crowds. I skipped a meeting. Ray Larry, a good friend of mine, his 25th anniversary was at a church Friday night, and I just felt it was not a good environment for me to be in. If I'd been 40 years old, I'd probably gone. But at my age, I just didn't think it was a prudent thing to do. But I want to give you something else to do the foreseeable future. If you have your Bibles, and Jim, you can probably pop this up on the screen for me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I have the New International Version I want to read from. All right, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Okay? And in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God. I want you to do this every day. You should be doing it as a regular course of things, but particularly under the circumstances that are happening today. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. There's spiritual warfare going on, I believe, for the heart and soul of America. And I am amazed at how quickly things have changed in America. and around the world. I would have never dreamed that we would isolate ourselves the way we have with flights coming in, restricting travel, restricting gathering. I saw that last night in the French Quarter that the police were driving in tandem, police cars down Bourbon Street and in that area, dispersing the crowd so people wouldn't gather together. Panics for, as we've already said, for food, for just the basic fundamentals of life, you know, that have been that we normally take for granted. If you want to want a loaf of bread, you just go pick it up, you know. And now it's getting difficult. Well, it's changed rapidly, and it surprised me. A stock market, it's a financial it's a ruler, I guess, for what's going on, and it's just tumbled. It's unbelievable. The largest drops in the stock market we've ever had. Our economy is threatened. Businesses, related businesses, are losing money. People can't work. And they're trying to put into effect some governmental things to kind of ease that a little bit. But when you see the stock of the United Airlines, Delta, all of them are losing, and last I saw, losing anywhere from 25 to 35% of their value. Those are significant numbers. The numbers weren't a whole lot different in the big crash back in the 30s, when things really went, haywire. There's a tipping point in things. And if it tips too far, sometimes I'm more afraid of other things than I am of the coronavirus. Coronavirus. I'll say it right sooner or later. There are other things that make my spiritual antennas rise up. Churches being told not to assemble. Elections being pushed back. Those who are running for the most important office in the world, the presidency of the United States, can't even campaign in the normal ways that they would. Look at those. If you want to be concerned about something, those are things to be concerned about. The probability of you getting this bug at this stage is so remote, and of it harming you to any great extent is remote at this point, where we are today. But these other things can affect you. If you've got your retirement, most of your retirement age, and if you've got your money invested in the market, you took a big hit. And you can't afford the hit. Could change your lifestyle. Could change the way where those who are retired, and I say you, I'm talking about in general, America in general. So what is this all about? I like to try to look through a spiritual prism.